Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
More now on the top story of the day, the news that the three college friends of bombing suspect Zahar Tsarnaev have been arrested, accused of impeding the police investigation of the attack. The three young men are not accused of any involvement in the bombing itself, but rather with hiding evidence and lying to federal investigators. With us this morning to explain and digest the new charges in the bombing case is David Frank, managing editor for Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly. Good morning, David, and thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Bob.
First, the charges themselves. Azmat Tazayakov and Dias Karabayev are both from Kazakhstan, previously held on charges of violating student visas. Now they're charged with conspiring to obstruct justice. What exactly are they accused of doing?
There are two things that the government at this point is accusing them of. One, destroying or getting rid of computer evidence, getting rid of a computer. And they're also accused of allegedly getting rid of a backpack. So there are two separate counts, both of which carry penalties up to 5 years in prison.
And the backpack allegedly held bomb-making materials, fireworks that were stripped of their explosives?
That's right. And if you look at the affidavit that the federal government attached to the complaint, there's a lot of detail in there. And it does describe exactly what you just said, Bob, a device that was used to make bombs. At least from the government's perspective, consistent with the devices that were used on Boylston Street on Marathon Monday.
As I understand it, they're also accused of getting rid of Tsarnaev's laptop computer. Do authorities have that laptop computer as far as we know?
That's the key, as far as we know. They haven't said that, but I'm uncomfortable surmising that that means they don't have it. There could be any number of reasons why the federal government wouldn't want to disclose that in the affidavit. They certainly wouldn't be required to in order to bring the charges.
How serious are these charges against these two, David? And I ask in this context, if someone else in some other case was accused of getting rid of evidence, of hiding evidence or destroying evidence, you'd think it was a serious charge, but not maybe as serious as it might be in this case, given the context. In this case, we're talking about the Boston Marathon attacks.
Right, and I think you've got your hand on it there. I mean, this isn't a normal case, and certainly, one could argue that these kind of allegations might not lead the federal government to bring charges in another case. But this isn't another case. I mean, this is a case involving one of the worst events to happen in Boston in a long time, if not ever. So the federal authorities, the Boston police, all law enforcement involved in this case made clear a week or so ago when the bombing suspect was arrested that the investigation was very much ongoing and that anybody that they felt was involved criminally would be brought to justice. And I think that's in large part why these three young men were brought to court yesterday.
But what do we make of the fact that two of these young men have been held for a week now, or over a week, and this is what the government comes up with, not connecting them to the bombing itself, but rather impeding the investigation into the bombing?
Well, I mean, the legislature obviously saw fit to make these crimes. And when it comes to giving false information to the federal government, which the third suspect yesterday is accused of, I mean, that's an 8-year maximum penalty. That's a crime that when the laws were written, the legislature deemed to be a very serious one. And on its face, just looking at the nature of these charges, I understand where you can make the argument. And again, just putting the perspective of the government here, I mean, they're looking at a case that involved death and grave bodily injury. And so anybody that's involved in it, I think from the government's perspective, they want to bring them to justice. And I think there are probably two reasons why they might want to do that. One, just to send a message to anybody else. If you're approached by the federal government, if you're asked to give information and you don't give truthful information, they're going to respond by charging. And I think at the same time, they also want to collect information.
Lawyers for all three of these suspects are adamant in insisting their clients are fully cooperating with investigators. Do you think then we'll hear defense lawyer complaints that the prosecutors were too aggressive in bringing these charges?
We could. I mean, I think all three lawyers yesterday, I mean, they're all good lawyers. They're all experienced lawyers. And one of the first things that they said after the hearing was essentially to make the point that none of their clients are charged in connection with events on Marathon Monday, that all of the allegations that were disclosed in court yesterday have to do with things that happened after the bombing. And I think that's smart lawyering.
Finally, David, tell us about the interest in the upcoming legal proceedings, because all of these guys will be in court soon. How noteworthy is it that evidence gathered so far could be subject to legal scrutiny for the very first time in these upcoming hearings?
The third suspect from yesterday, the defendant charged with giving false information to the federal government, requested that Judge Bowler allow him to be heard on bail, to have a detention hearing on Monday. And that means that for the first time since the bombs went off on Boylston Street, the case will be heard in a courtroom, and presumably the lawyers will have some opportunity to challenge the evidence or to at least make arguments in support of the client. We heard yesterday from the prosecution that they plan to argue against any kind of release on two grounds, because he's a flight risk and he shouldn't be released because he poses a danger to the community.
David Frank, appreciate your time. David Frank is managing editor of Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly. Thanks again.
Anytime, Bob.